Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast and the Class from Cartagena. We'd love to include everybody here in all of the classes that we have while we're looking out at the hawks that are sitting right over here waiting for us to not finish our pancakes so they could swoop in and steal latet ochlam be'ito, like the Pasuk says. Potech et yadecha u'masbi al'chol charetzon. Today's Breakfast and the Class has been sponsored by the Haruni Mishpacha. Could you pass this for me? And the sponsorship for today, although anyone could sponsor it in the Zechut of Safra, Tzedakah, or Chazak, but is this beautiful mug. What happens at the Seder stays at the Seder. You have to pour the hot water in, and then you kind of get the message revealed. So Baruch Hashem, it's a special time to be preparing for the holiday, to be getting into the zone properly for our seder for tonight. We want to also welcome a long-time listener.
Leon
Abinaim, who's one of our dedicated Breakfast in the Class listeners, who's hearing it for the first time live, right? Hazaku Baruch, very, very special. You guys have heard it live when you came to visit, right? All right, Baruch Hashem. What is Zechut? Very, very special. Please only answer Amen if you're listening to this live. Baruch Atah Adonai. Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shah. Kol Nia Baro.
Amen.
Okay, let's begin. My friends, there's a beautiful idea that I wanted to share with you today that I think is a very important bit of information that everyone needs to use today before the Seder is done. And that is as follows. We all know that we have a mitzvah of Bi'ur Hametz today to burn the Hametz. That's a very important mitzvah. And of course, everyone will do it hopefully in the right time. I think it already in New York, it's almost the Zman to burn the Hametz. We have a little bit more time over here. We're an hour behind. So my friends, the mitzvah of burning the Hametz is not only something which relates to the burning of the physical bread, pretzels, cakes, cookies, but also, as our Chachamim tell us, it relates to a much deeper principle that is true. Now, let me explain how this works. The Maharal writes about this extensively, that when we notice patterns in mitzvot, those patterns in mitzvot are actually indicative of a reality in the physical world. And the mitzvot are there in a certain way to be able to help us plug directly in to the thing that we need and the influence we're trying to have in the world at large. That, to me, says a tremendous lesson. It illustrates to me what we say every day in the Tefillah, halichot olam lo, that when a person follows the halachot, they learn the halachot, they do those halachot, olam lo, the whole world bends itself around what this person needs. That's why we say also in the same ma'amar in the Tefillah, al tikre banaich ela bonaich, that talmidei chachamim marbin shalom ba'olam. Most people think that what this means is talmidei chachamim go around and they say, don't have a fight with that one, don't fight with this one. They're mabim shalom ba'olam. But now we understand a much deeper concept of what's being taught to us. When a person is a Talmid Chacham, they learn Torah, they teach Torah, they fulfill the mitzvot, they are literally bonaich, they build the world. And by building the world in the Torah way, what happens? Even without addressing a specific fight, you inherently build a world of shalom. Let's say, as an example, you have two people who were raised in a capitalist society that everything is about the money and about the product and the stuff and the vacations. If that's what the whole world is about for you, you're guaranteed to be a person that's going to be a person that's fighting. Why? Because your highest value is what you could take. So therefore, when someone else is standing in the way of what I could take, I hate that person. So Talmidei Chachamim, by definition, are marbim shalom ba'olam, even if they never solve a single fight, because they create the environment within which shalom can flourish and shalom can exist. My friends, that's what the Torah is supposed to be. The Pasuk tells us, Dirachea darche noam. The ways of the Torah are ways of pleasantness. V'chol netivoteha, and all of its paths, shalom. Again, this idea doesn't mean that the Torah says, you have to do shalom here, you have to do shalom here, you have to do shalom here. Of course, although that is true, it's much more profound than that. When you learn, Kaved Avicha Ve'et Imecha, right? Then you have shalom, because you don't fight with your parents. And parents don't fight with their children. Why? Because they understand that they need to be above that. They need to be a role model. So that's the idea of kol nitivotea shalom. Since the ways of Torah are by definition non pleasant, the outcome of that is v'chol nitivotea shalom. So my friends, when we look at the Bi'ur Chametz, we have to understand that something incredible is either happening or about to happen. And it doesn't end with the burning of the Chametz. This idea is expressed by many great Talmidei Chachamim, that the power of this day, you know what it is? It's destroying the enemies of Am Yisrael. It's wiping out Chametz. This idea is also why, as we mentioned last night, Mordechai Yehudi goes to Esther HaMalkah and he says, today is Erev Pesach. You need to go to Achashverosh right now. And if you don't go, Ba'et Hazot, in this time, Umi Yodea, Im Le'et Kazot Igat LaMalchut, Revach V'Atzara Yamod LaYehudim. That's Et Hazot. Today, my friends, is an incredibly powerful day when it comes to getting rid of mazikim, of those that damage, of forces of evil, of negative things. Let me share with you something. When a person prays for Rifu'ah Shleimah, how do you pray for Rifu'ah Shleimah for someone to get better? Anyone know? What do you say the guy's name, woman's name? You say Yishav Rifu'ah Shleimah. Today's class is being done as Rifu'ah Shleimah for Chana Batzim Afega and Chaim Rafael Ben Farida. But this morning, when I prayed for all those that are unwell in the community, I didn't pray to God. I didn't say, God, heal them. I didn't say that. What I said to God is, in every person's body who's not well, there's something that is existing in their body, which is a negative thing, which is destroying them, which is hurting them, which is poisoning them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take this thing, which is harming the Jew, and get rid of it. That is the concept of Erev Pesach, of Bi'ur Chametz. Last night, when I sat with my kids, and we made the Kal Hamira, and you should do this as well if you're going to go burn after this. Not if you're going to go burn, Has V'Shalom, that's only for the Shayim. But if you're going to go burn your Hametz after this, okay, I want you to stand next to the fire. Before you do, you burn the fire, there's a beautiful L'Shem Yichud. Ask your children, which negative midah? Because things that hold you back occupy many, many different ways. Things that hold you back could be Hamas, Yimach Shemam. It could be Iran, Yimach Shemo. Right? It could be Hezbollah. It could be the anti-Semites on college campuses. It could be the people marching in protests. What's going on right now in Columbia University is out of control. Jews are being beat up on the university campus for standing there and supporting Israel. Some woman had a flagpole shoved in her face. She went with a black eye. Another guy also reported similar things. Actual physical violence is happening in America right now. And the campuses are doing nothing about it. And they, in the name of free speech, they're allowing people to literally be beat up in broad daylight. Cops are doing nothing. My friends, it is not enough on this day, Erev Pesach, to burn your chametz, without asking for a prayer that evil should be eradicated. But when you eradicate evil, my friends, you don't only do it in one way. The same way the mitzvah represents the item you need, and those two things coalesce and influence one another. So all forms of evil today, there is a power to destroy them. Why? Because all those years ago, on this great day, on this tremendous day, what happened? On this great day, the Jewish people were getting ready to be able to identify themselves as Jews, and then all of the Bechorot passed away. Our rabbis tell us that a huge portion of the Egyptian nation was also destroyed because the Bechorot went to Paro and said, you're okay not letting the Jews out and we're going to die at midnight? Not having it. They strapped their swords on, the Bechorot of Mitzrayim, and they waged a civil war against Egypt. They killed their own parents. They fought to get into the palace of Paro. That's what it means, says the Midrash, Limake Mitzrayim Bibchorehim. It doesn't say Limake Bechore Mitzrayim. It says that he hit the Egyptians through their Bechorim. My friends, so I'm going to ask you this question once again. What is it that you want to destroy today? What is it that you need to get rid of today? That's what a person needs to be thinking about. Your kas, your anger. your jealousy, your greed, your yetzer hara, your ta'avot enayim. So many times people will come to me and they'll tell me, Rabbi, I see your videos on Vayimaen. I say, thank you very much. I say, did they do anything? Were you shomer enayim anymore because of those videos? Would you watch videos every day and that's it? Hazaku baruch. This is an organization that the whole of their videos is dedicated to Shmirat Enayim. So you watch the video, that's all you do. That's what you signed up for. Imagine someone who says, you know something, I'm a lifeguard. And I'm going to go to sit on the beach, and every single day I'm going to sit there and I'm going to get paid to be the lifeguard. One day you see someone in the ocean, he's drowning. And the guy tells you, life, there's someone drowning. And the guy says, yeah, thank you, I know. Thank you, I know. I'm watching, I could see. Well, you could see, why don't you do anything? The answer is, he says to him, listen, I didn't sign up to save anybody. I only signed up to watch the videos. You understand? Mazbut. I went to the course with lifeguarding. I learned the things. I watched the movie. But now, this is what it was all for. For this minute. My friends, this is what it's all for. For this minute. Let's try and understand and plug into that. So my friends, on this theme, I'd like to add one other element. An issue as well, a challenge. Our rabbis tell us, when we talk about this idea of being able to destroy the evil, oftentimes, when we think of this evil, how do we look at evil? We look at evil as averot, terrible things that a person could do. But that's not how the Torah looks at evil. I'll give you an example. Moshe Rabbeinu sees a man. He picks up his hand. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Rasha, lama takere'echa. Did the guy hit him yet? No. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu calling him a Rasha? Good question. He didn't do it yet. This is Minority Report. What's he doing? Listen to this, my friends. It's so powerful. If you came to hit your friend, what does that mean? You already have anger and hatred living in your heart. So it's true, I didn't hit him yet. But I did other Isurim already so that I let it get to this place. Does that ring clear? Does that ring powerful? I'll give you an example exactly on this point. The Pasuk tells us, we're learning it in Masechah Makot with the guys learning in Makot with me. The Pasuk says that the person who kills someone by accident, you know what decides if it's an accident or not? Did you hate him yesterday? If you hated him yesterday, it's not an accident. In fact, the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara over there talk about. If a guy hated him before, that's not considered mitah b'shogeg. Not only that, there's an opinion that says, if you hated the guy yesterday, if today you come to kill him, we don't even need to have to give you hatra'ah. We don't even have to warn you. You know why? We know you know exactly what you're doing. You know why? Because there's hatred in your heart. So it's not that I'm preemptively calling you a rasha for the hitting. I'm calling you a rasha post-fact. Because you allowed that hatred in your heart. And the Pasuk says explicitly, Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. My friends, that's also evil. To hate a Jew is evil. Does that land? When we're burning, what are we burning? I'm not only burning the fact that I have this terrible avon, and this terrible avon that everybody knows, everyone feels guilty about. It also lands on all the things that you don't feel guilty about, and you don't think are even a problem. I spoke at a wedding a little while ago, and I shared something. I think it was very powerful. I don't know if anyone else agrees with me. I thought it was very powerful. The Pasuk tells us, if you have a Yoledet, the Yoledet, after she gives birth, has to bring a Korban Chatat and a Korban Olah. She brings a Korban Olah, beautiful, wonderful. But why does she bring a sin offering? What'd she do wrong? She had a baby. Is there any bigger mitzvah than a Jewish woman having a baby? Beautiful, great mitzvah. Listen to this. The Chachamim tell us that in the throes of childbirth, she might have decided, you know what? I'm never going to be with my husband ever again. I don't ever want to be with my husband. I don't want to have any more children. Chalas, it was too hard. It was too difficult. And because she said that, we have a Korban Chatat. We don't want her neder. Everyone asks the same question. Since when is the solution to a neder bringing a Korban Chatat? The solution to a neder is hatarat nedarim. You need a petach for the neder, but if ever there was a petach, it's the fact that someone is in the throes of childbirth when she makes this declaration. Listen, my friends, that's not the Korban Chatat. The Korban Chatat is that in marriage, the closest relationship between two beings, one of them could have said, I want to have nothing to do with the other ever again. The Torah's eyes, a couple is supposed to be loving, connected, wanting to spend time with one another. If a wife could say, for whatever reason, I don't want to be with my husband anymore, that requires a Korban Chatat. If you could say about another Jew, I don't want to be with this person, I don't want to associate with that guy, we don't go there, we don't hang out, this is that person is another, those differences are already evil and they need to be eradicated from the Jewish psyche. So this is also part of the concept of Bi'ur Chametz. I want to give one last example. So for all of us, today, throughout the whole day, you have the opportunity to do this. Make sure you take the opportunity to pray. You have a child that has reading difficulties. Throw that in there. It's stopping him from being able to learn Torah. You have a son or a daughter who's got a challenge with a relationship with someone else in the family. It's stopping shalom from the family. Pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that those feelings disappear. Is this clear? I want everyone to understand the opportunity that you're missing if you just go swimming today. Okay? Spend the time. Find the things. What do you want to burn? Well, I'll end with this. Our rabbis tell us that a person who is kafui tova, who does not recognize that someone has done him a favor, that person is considered abominable in the eyes of God. So there's a lot of things that people run around talking about. The Torah says this is an abomination. We're checking lettuce, because eating bugs is also abomination. We're checking lettuce with a light box, right? We're looking, holding it up, triple washing it, because we don't want to eat any bugs, right? Everything that you can eat over here will be bugless lettuce. Why? The Torah says, Toeva. My friends, listen carefully. You know what else is toeva? A person who has arrogance is toeva. A person who's kafui tova, who denies that someone did something good for him, is not grateful, is not appreciative, toeva. If you're complaining when you're on a Pesach program, toeva. You have so many beautiful things around you, and what did you do? You found the one bad thing? God says, Toeva. How do we know that God can't be with that person? Because we find exactly that idea by Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon posts in, Hashem says, you can't be with me in Gan Eden anymore. I'm here in Gan Eden. You can't be here. You know why? Because the two of us can't be together. When I asked you, why did you sin? Where are you coming from? Ayeka, what did you say? The woman you gave me, she gave to me and I ate. You're not, you don't recognize, you're not appreciative, you're not grateful. I can't be with you. Sometimes a person struggles in spirituality and they don't know what the problem is, why they're not connecting. This is one of the answers. You know why you're not connecting? Because God can't bear to be with you. It's not that you're not trying. You're trying everything. You have everything done. But God can't bear to be with you in the same room because your person doesn't have appreciation. Work on your appreciation of people, of things. I'm schwitzing like a cow. But you know what? I'm very, I don't know if cows schwitz. That might be an inaccurate factoid. Okay? But I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be doing this shiur. I'm happy to be teaching Torah. Because while I have this negative thing, there's so many other positive things that are wonderful. Like the fact that I'm shouting over music. It's amazing. There is music. You're complaining that there's music in your life? Do you understand? That's the way to shift this. If you're a person that is always critical, pray to Hashem that ends. They tell us an amazing ma'aseh. Rav Shach, when he was a little bit younger, he was very, very poor. Didn't have two pennies to scratch together. Anyway, the one of the students sees the rabbi puts on his coat, and he's getting ready to walk it. And it's not the time. The rabbi has a shiur, a mincha. And the rabbi was famous for having a very rigorous learning schedule. So he says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to give our time. He says, you're going to give our time by foot? He says, yes, I have to go. I need to go there. It's very important. And I can't afford. He couldn't afford to take a bus, or he couldn't afford to take a cab. So he's going to walk there. He says, Rebbe, why are you walking all the way to give our time? He wasn't very old, but he was an elder, already older. And the rabbi says, I have to go, there's a funeral. He says, a funeral? Whose funeral? He's thinking, must be one of the great Gedolim, the Rav Shach is going to his funeral. He says, it's someone, this guy's name. He says, I never heard of him. Who is he? He says, he's a fellow, I used to know back in the old country. He says, oh, that you guys were friends? He says, no, I haven't seen him in 50 years. He says, there's a guy from the old country. You haven't seen him in 50 years. I never heard you mention him once. I'm your student. I know who you know. I know who you hang out with. And you're going to his funeral all the way to give a time by foot? He says, when we were young, we were learning together in the yeshiva, and I think he's in Kovno. And he says, and every night, the way it worked back then is the yeshivot didn't have food. The students didn't have food, didn't have money. They weren't going. It wasn't like now. You go to Israel for a year or two, and you're swiping your father's card all the time at Burger's Bar. You're going over here. Baruch Hashem, there's a fire of Torah, and the card itself is also on fire, right? Sometimes you have to put it out for a few minutes, okay? They're swiping and swiping and swiping. Ishtabach Shemo. Okay? Back then, the yeshiva students didn't have food to eat. They didn't have bread. The yeshiva couldn't afford either, so what did they do? They had something called in Yiddish, Essen Teg, meaning eating days. That on day Sunday, there will be some guy, he would say, you can come and eat by me with my family. And they would provide a little bit of extra food for the yeshiva boy. He would come, he would eat, he would go back to the yeshiva, that would be his food. Some yeshivot, they had a certain amount of days, they didn't have enough for every boy to eat every day. So the boys would take turns eating once in 2 days. This was the Mesirut Nefesh that they used to have in yeshiva. Okay? My friends, some boys in yeshiva say today, Rabbi, sometimes I feel like eating only once in 2 days. You haven't had yeshiva food in a while. Okay? However, that's your choice, Rahi. Right? You're eating. I remember when I was in yeshiva, I had a small allowance from my parents. We were not a wealthy family growing up. I had a small allowance. So I remember for Shabbat, I couldn't bear to eat the food. I had grown up with my mother's food. I got there. I never knew what potato gogo was. I didn't know from any of this thing. Chopped liver, right? We had some hameen, maybe more, a little bit chalent, but this was hardcore chalent, right? I didn't know like what I would do. So I would go to the store and I would buy a slice of deli meat and a bottle of pickles. And that would be my seudot Shabbat until I got used to the food a year and a half, two years later. If I didn't have enough money in my allowance, I would buy only the pickles. And I remember eating in yeshiva for many Shabbats. My seuda was grape juice, challah, dipping the challah in the batamt garlic dill. Remember that? With the striped red and white cap, garlic dill, dipping it in, pickles, challah in the thing, right? Until I didn't know what my father meant when he said, why is this night different that tonight we dip? I'm like, Abba, I dip every Shabbat. Anyway, so what's it called? So this was my meal, so I understand. Either way, they used to have Essenteg. They used to eat on certain days. Rav Shach got someone offering him the opportunity to come eat by him. But he lived all the way on the other side of town. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to any of these places in the winter. I've been to Poland many times in the winter. You cannot understand the cold that you have in these countries. In Poland, in Russia, you think in New York City, you think wherever you are in America, Las Vegas, it gets very, very, it's very, very cold, right? It's very hard to understand. I remember once being outside, standing in a ski suit, not on a mountain. We were in a concentration camp in Poland. We were just standing there. I was in a ski suit, wearing layers and layers, and I was still freezing cold. This fellow, Rav Shach, says to his student, at that time, I was going walking to Kovno for food. He says, and I didn't own, Rav Shach, the family was very poor. I didn't even own a jacket. So every time I would have to go take this walk, he would lend me his coat and I would walk in his coat to go get my food from the other, from this family. So 50 years later, the rabbi is walking to give our time to be able to go to his funeral. Why? Hakarat HaTov. We live in a generation that's very spoiled. But there's two things that you could do when you see that something is spoiled. Number one, drink it anyway Every yeshiva boy or college student knows that terrible feeling when you have a big day, a test, a farher, and you pour yourself a coffee, and then you take the milk, and you pour the milk in the coffee, and all of a sudden, wow. Floating up to the top, beautiful pieces. Wow, look, there's pieces in there already. See, Hashem, Baruch Omer V'Oseh. There's pieces floating in the coffee, and you have to make a decision. And what's your decision? How much do you need this coffee? So I remember sometimes doing this. Yeah. You know, taking out the pieces and drinking it anyway. But if you have a choice, is there any person here that would drink a coffee with spoiled milk? That's only a little spoiled. Is there anyone here that would drink a cup of spoiled milk? We should not accept spoiled children. I don't mean we shouldn't accept them as children. You have to love your children always. What I mean is that's not something that we should accept as a reality. We have to change that reality. Today is the day when you burn the negative influence. And you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for my kid, for myself, for my wife, for my husband. A child should say for themselves, I'm always complaining, I'm always kvetching. I don't want that midah. Hashem, take it away from me. Burn it. Livtil v'leheve ke'afra da'ara. Let it be bater. May Hashem bless us to be able to get rid of all the things that we can. And just like the mitzvah bedikat chametz, is ad makom shiyado magat, until you can reach. It is only your job to take care of the things that you could reach, but it's also your job to call in the police and the fire department when there's something that you can't reach. So today is the day to call in the fire department and ask Borei Olam to take care of those things. Baruch Hanayi Le'olam. Amen v'amen. Rabbi Chananya, ben Akasha Omer Tzak.